This is the state that Akathia is in current day Runeterra, and it's only because Zillion just went, pause. Okay, I gotta figure out how to rewind it, but you guys, y'all just stay here, I'll be back.
Welcome to Casuals of Runeterra, episode 111, part 2. It's part 2 for you non-French speakers. I'm your host, Ryan. Yes. Here with the other host, Hetch.
Oui, oui. je ne sais quoi.
Oh, no. All right, so we promised you the next part of the story where Akathia once stood. So here it is, but housekeeping up top. And then we'll just hop straight into it. You can listen to us everywhere. Visit us at podcastcore.com for all of our info. Remember, that's C-O-R. And email us at podcastcore@gmail.com if you want to get in contact. Follow us at all the platforms because we appreciate that. And it helps us with discoverability, but also leave a like and comment. We want to know what you think. But to spread the word, the easiest way, word of mouth. So tell a friend to remember who they are by listening to the Casuals of Runeterra podcast.
Oh, yes. And spoilers. Some people of the story aren't going to remember things. But yeah, we'll get into that. But the good news there is we got some Sakuga coming to you. And if you've been listening to this show, you know that we love talking about our Sakuga. So
yeah. Yeah, we get some brutal war scenes, very fleshed out. But where we left off in the previous part, if you haven't listened, we recommend you do, is when the Shuriman army finally shows up. And the Kohari are waiting in their ranks. And we pick up with Axe seeing this endless flood of Shuriman forces of all types in every direction, right? It's like an endless sea of them. Which is what he was promised, so no surprise there. And then with them are also machines that he's never seen before, and technology he's never seen before. And in the middle of those ranks are the things he feared the most, which are the God Warriors. And there's fucking 9 of them. And none of them you will know or we will know from the games, and we'll explain why in a bit.
And it's important to really kind of harp on the number 9, like 9 of these guys. And if you've listened to our episodes where we talk about Renekton, Gnosis, Azir, like the stories of the other ascended, they are terrifying, nigh immortal creatures. And then, so like just one God Warrior can turn the tide of the battle in Shuriman's favor. There's 9 of these guys. So like this isn't... Like, you know, we have the Akathians, you know, finally taking a stand, starting the revolution, yeah. And the Shurimans do not disappoint as far as, like, their reaction here. We're, like, this is a next-level reaction as far as, like, oh, what? You're going to rebel? Let us send a God Warrior. No, we're sending 9 of them. We are stomping this out immediately. So this is not a force to take lightly by any means. And luckily, we're taking the point of view of a greenhorn. You know, like this is Axe's first battle. Like he just signed up, so yeah, we're getting his perspective. So his reaction is appropriate, which is like, oh shit.
Yeah, it literally puts the fear of God in them, right? Pun intended. And the rest of the ranks feel the same way. But luckily, their leader or their general or commander, whatever you want to call him at this point, is Sage Axe. And his booming voice takes over and refocuses their intention on the task that they're supposed to do. And his speech essentially resets the morale of everyone involved. And then everyone begins to chant the name of the city that they're taking back. And as they do so, the Shuriman army is continuing their cadence slowly towards them with their own rhythmic chant of sorts.
Yeah, like we're now getting into like that, the calm before the storm. Everybody is in rank and file. Everybody is amping themselves up for what is to come. I do like that we get a little bit of the veterans kind of showing that, like, for them, it's another day in the office with Cyjax, well, Cyjax, with Jax and Colgrim. And like, because we're seeing, like, these tides of Shuriman's, these god warriors. We have Axe freaking out, like, oh, God, I'm going to die. And the first voice he hears is Colgrim going, big bastards, aren't they? Like, just another day at the office for these guys. And it really sets the tone as far as, like, the difference between a veteran and a rookie. So we're getting all that kind of sprinkled in there with this calm before the storm. And that's why that whole emotional buildup is kind of almost palatable at this point.
Yeah, and that's even followed by the egg scene, right? Which is a reference to other things we talked about related to Jax. But he goes to Axe and he offers him a boiled egg. And he looks at him confused and obviously doesn't take it because he can't stomach any food anyways. But Colgrim's like, yeah, fuck yeah, I'll take a boiled egg. He takes one. He's like, oh, this is a damn good egg. And there's this back and forth, super casual, about how Jax prepares his eggs so they're more delicious and ready for travel. And this causes the army to kind of laugh at this absurdity, which lightens the mood again. But remember, the Shuriman army is slowly approaching.
Yeah, and for anyone that is like, oh, I'm not going to read it, but I'm kind of curious. Jax's secret is a dash of vinegar. All right, I know there's someone listening to this that's obsessed with cooking. All right, I got your back here, but I also need someone who's artistic to give me fan art of Jax. But it's Danny DeVito saying, "Can I offer you an egg in this trying time?"
So now with the Shuriman army within about 200 yards of them, they begin to take action. They're about that action, and they start firing flaming spears into the air, and these then crash down on the ranks of Icathian soldiers, releasing this green fire, this green flame. And obviously there's a bit of panic, but the soldiers are remaining kind of focused, pulling the wounded to the back and then going back and filling in those parts of the ranks. So they're not faltering, right? They're now focused. And then as more spears get launched, the Icathian mages hop into action and begin sending them back, reflecting them. And the ones that aren't reflected are hitting these invisible barriers to protect the Icathian soldiers. And this is playing into enhancing and bolstering their confidence again as they prepare to respond.
Yeah, and this part is just, kind of very typical as far as any battle scene that you get to see in other kinds of media. So, it's the armies are not close enough. So any artillery that you've got, any ranged weapons, start launching them in. We get the nice League of Legends twist here, which is, the mages kind of launching in this green fire. So then you get the Sakuga of the guys getting hit by that, and then the other mages responding by bouncing it back. And yeah. So we get a little bit nice of flair, but you've seen this scene before if you've seen anything as far as in war media. So it's when the armies get a little bit closer that we're going to start getting a bit more of the action here. So take us into it. I'm ready for the charge, baby.
Yeah, so this disrupts the Shuriman ranks, kind of breaks it apart, and Sajax sees this as a veteran, and he yells now, and the Icathian forces then charge. And we get a first-person account of the feeling of this first-time battle for Axe. We're not going to read it all, because this is the part where you want to go read. It's a huge section, which plays out like, Saving Private Ryan or whatever. The details are very well written, and you can follow the action as well. So that's definitely go check that out yourself.
Yeah, this is the part that's like definitely worth a read. I don't care who you are, it's going to entertain you. But the main thing that I will say as far as trying to give you a picture if you don't want to go and read it is that for Axe, it really is just a almost like a manic wave of emotions, and he's just caught on that wave. There's not really training that he's focused on or remembering. There's no finesse. He's not trying to, go back on what he was taught. For him, this is just carnal the carnal will to survive. And that is all that's carrying him through it. But the rest of the details, you got to go read that. And they do a really good job as far as writing this. Like reading this scene, it's very easy for me to kind of put a picture together of what it would look like. You know, just that this mashing of bodies, not really in control of what direction you're moving in because everyone's so packed and tight. And then hyper focusing on things that are like, oh God, that's a threat.
Yeah. And the one key thing that stands out in this specific passage is that they are using a wedge technique, which is common in a lot of different military strategies across the age. And what this guarantees is when the opponent is split in some factor, you're splitting that even more. And you always know that the person behind you, hopefully, is a ally. Therefore, you can focus on everything in front of you. So that's why it's a common strategy. And then it kind of plays around that on how that is playing into the chaos that's happening. But they're winning. And this is what it shifts into is the Kohari are winning this battle. Morale is high. And even Axe can see this. But the juxtaposition that happens is Sajax, once again, their leader, yells to hold. And this leaves everyone confused. And then Axe sees why. Because the fucking God Warriors have decided, okay, it's time to get my participation points. And the results are devastating. And Sajax starts telling them not only to hold, but start fighting backwards, like start heading out of this area. And Axe, even further confused, mentions, you know, we're already here. We're winning. Where's that fucking weapon you promised? And Sajax says, it's ready and it's being used as we speak, which is why he needs them to fucking move.
Yep. And this, as far as like the whole breaking of the Shuriman lines here, it's important to, you know, remember that when back, like as far as medieval kind of combat, even though this is a fantasy world, but with medieval combat, the tradition is that you put your least valuable warriors on the front line. They're the ones that are going to get peppered by arrows, and they're the ones that are going to get cut down first. But when the armies actually collide, so you put those guys out in the front and they soak up all that initial kind of miscellaneous damage. And then your warriors come in and clean it up. For the Shurimans, you put all the slaves and your imprisoned colonies up front. And then it's the God Warriors that come in behind it. So that's one of the reasons why, like, we get that scene of the Acathians kind of winning the battle, because even though this is Axe's first battle, he isn't fighting in a rank of militia. He is fighting with the elite that the Acathians have to offer. Sure, it's a reborn unit, but these are the most elite warriors that Acathia has. So going up against a bunch of slaves and people who are fighting for a cause they don't believe in.
Yeah,
they're going to break real quick. But then God Warriors, different beast. That's what it is. And luckily we have Jax there that's like, he is going to be calm and collected, which is why he's able to call that retreat. But how do we take down the God Warriors, Ryan?
How do we take them down? So, you know, reference to real life. You guys remember when the nuclear bombs were created? So Oppenheimer... You know, let's not even get into that. But anyways, it was a mistake, right? And that's the part that, you know, during Oppenheimer creating the nuclear bombs, it was contained information for, you know, foreign affairs, but also because the general public, if they knew how devastating this truly was of an experiment, they would probably not partake. Same thing here. So the battle is already... unbelievable, right? But the next thing that Axe would experience would push it into the realm of disbelief. So I'm just going to read a passage here.
All right.
You guys remember
this
pavilion.
Will set the tone.
I know, right? You guys remember the pavilion we talked about in the previous episode. If you haven't, pay attention. The pavilion exploded with forking traceries of light arcing loops of purple energy ripped into the sky and lashed down like crashing waves. The force of the blast threw everyone to the ground. I covered my ears as a deafening scream tore the air. I pressed myself to the battle-churned earth as the wail burrowed deep into my skull, as though the world itself was shrieking in horror. I rolled onto my side, retching as stabbing nausea ripped through my belly. The sky, once bright and blue, was now the color of a week-old bruise. Unnatural twilight held sway, and I saw flickering afterimages burn themselves onto the back of my mind. Slashing claws, gaping maws, all-seeing eyes, I sobbed in terror at the sight of such horrors. Now, this is a person who has just hacked down a bunch of slaves. Okay. This is a person who's currently in the midst of war. And then something else happens that immediately terrifies him to the point of being infantile and crying and throwing up on the ground. This is no joke.
No.
You didn't get that from the words.
Yeah. Let's just take into effect as far as, because we don't even get like a description of like the first void creatures that he sees. Yeah. Let's just look at the description that's given. Like, we have this giant tent that explodes with an unnatural energy, and that unnatural energy that is emitting an unnatural light has tendrils of almost like whip lightning, just going across the battlefield, slicing through anyone in the path, and then when it's done slicing through, it's not that it's leaving bodies behind. They're just gone. And it is just with that sight and the amount of energy coming out of it, everyone that is near it can understand that it is slashing claws, gaping maws, all-seeing eyes, and they realize that, oh no, none of us are safe. Like, that is ridiculous as far as just... We haven't even gotten a description of what these things look like yet. So, for what we know, Axe hasn't even seen that. He just knows. He just knows it's done. It's over. That's the power of this, which is why the kind of nuclear bomb was perfect.
If you reference to our previous episode again, is when he originally even looked in the direction when they arrived at the front lines. When he looked in the direction of the pavilion, he got sick, right? That's an insane thought of power. And then to unleash that power against another absurd power, which is the God Warrior itself, is like, people shouldn't be around this happening. This is the equivalent of Volibear having a bout with his brother, right? These are gods. You're taking a godly energy and having that battle an actual god warrior, and you're just hanging out watching as a spectator. No, yeah,
there's
not
how this works. There's a reason that we keep trying to harp on, like, when we make the jokes of like Ruination, like 1.0, 2.0. There's a reason that we harp on just like try to imagine the sheer amount of like damage and power that is happening and all of that, because like these champions of legends, for these guys, like, that's you know, like, that's what they, the tools they have, they're gonna use it to fight. But Axe is not one of those guys, man. He's just a regular dude. He was too busy trying to figure out where the green-eyed girl was at so that he could track her down again. He was having fun slashing down some slaves, and all of a sudden it's oh no. There's nothing good will come of this. And that is what, like that is all that consumes him at that point. So yeah, I'd be in the fetal position crying too. I can't blame the guy.
Yeah. So we have, you know, get back to it. The abyss opens up essentially in the middle of the Shreeman army. That's why Jax wanted them to pull back, because that was all according to plan. And this annihilates them, like Hetch mentioned, in a gruesome fashion. To the point where it's just an amalgamation of gore, grueling sounds, and monsters. There's no real distinguishing what's happening. You just know it's terrifying. And when this terror finally ends and sort of, quote-unquote, calms down, the Shreemans are just gone, right? The rest of the ranks are gone. There's no endless sea of warriors anymore, whether they are destroyed by this power or they just decided to turn tail. Who knows? But the Kahari look around and they're wondering, did we win?
Well, because now for us, as far as the readers, and especially if you've been listening to the show, we know what the what void creatures do. We know what the purpose of the void is, which is to consume all. And luckily, even though this is like the first time that, you know, mortal beings are really getting to see the void in action, they can sense it. Like, and I do enjoy that, like, they kind of write, it's written in a way where they don't kind of outright explain that, like, how Axe and the other Arcathians are getting to this conclusion. They just, it's like, it's just a feeling. They just know. Like, it's a natural instinct. So it's not, it's like, how do you explain how to breathe? That's the way that they have it written, which is perfect. So they know that it's like, this is unnatural and wrong because they didn't defeat the Shuriman, so they've removed them. Like, they've been cast into exile. They're in the Shadow Realm. But like, Yugi doesn't have his grandfather's deck to save us. So like, they're just gone, and they can sense that. And they can also see, as far as like the battleground where the Shuriman's were, they don't see the void creatures, but they can see that the ground itself has completely turned into an unnatural substance, but it has this appearance of being alive. So they took out the Shuriman's, they took out any Arcathians that didn't get out of there, and they've made a nest, and now they're growing. And if the void is growing, that means that all life as we know it is being eaten and removed. So, like, they can sense it. They know that it's like, yeah, the battle's over, but did we win? Like, they know that it's like, this isn't the kind of victory that we wanted to fight for. They can sense it. And I think they did that really well as far as explaining that to us.
Yeah, and, you know, to bring it back to our reference to the creation of the nuclear bomb, and then now we're looking at it being used, which is, you know, Hiroshima, Nagasaki, and the aftermath of what that actually did and how the world responded to that was in kind, where they were like, oh, fuck, this is beyond gross. Like, this isn't winning. This is something different. And that's what follows into this bewildered state that the Kohari are now in. They're relieved that the plan worked, but the Arcathian forces, you know, they're like, okay, well, fuck it. Do we cheer? Do we chant? So they start to cheer and chant, and then the ground reassures them, no sorry, Bob, as it begins to shake and crack, and it leads towards the city, and you essentially have a high magnitude earthquake ravage the city of Arcathia. Fires, geysers of dust and smoke, chasms start to form, and the city is essentially folding in on itself, and it's left in this charred mode where they're just like, well, shit. Obviously, if you use a nuke, the area around it is going to be affected by seismic shocks. That's a thing that we didn't plan for. Yeah. Oh, no. You know, it destroyed the city we're trying to protect or trying to get back.
They have the seismic shocks. They have all of the radiation that goes around it. Or in this case, it's the void removing all of life. The nuclear bomb is very much an appropriate comparison. And we know from, like, going over our Jax bio and, more importantly, our Zillion bio, like, this is the state that Arcathia is in current-day Runeterra. And it's only because Zillion just went, pause. Okay, I got to figure out how to rewind it. But you guys, y'all just stay here. I'll be back. And then he goes and does his can't kill you the zillion thing, all right? But like, to that point, we do know that, like, as far as even in today in the real world, the Nagasaki and Hiroshima are still going through the effects of the atom bomb. And then, much in that vein, Arcathia is still under the effects of the void when they come and consume everything. So it wasn't just the battleground that was set up there. We saw that they were making a nest. Like, the warriors kind of were like, oh, what's going on there? And then turn around and watch the whole city fall behind them. And, oh, Oh, that's what's going on. The nest is growing. It's growing, and we're just standing on top of it. We're boned.
Yeah, yeah. And so the next thing that happens, you know, during this profound moment of disbelief is that a vulture-like god warrior, one of the remaining few, flies overhead heading towards the pavilion. He's charging some sort of blast. And to also note, the priest and mages that were controlling the pavilion and unleashed the power are dead. Right, they were the first to go, which makes sense.
Yeah, this, I like to think that they were so close to the pavilion that it's like they didn't even die. They literally just were, you know, Thanos snapped. Like they're just gone. Just gone. There were no mages. You hallucinated those. That's how close they were to the point of impact. And this, as far as with the God Warrior making his move to the pavilion, like Axe can even note that he's kind of falling apart. Like,
yeah,
the God Warrior's not okay. Like, this is clearly his final act, is trying to take out the pavilion. And I like, this is kind of cool because it's like, this is the first time that for Axe, he goes back into his training. Like, at no point has Axe acted like a veteran in this entire fight until this moment when he sees the God Warrior making his flight to the pavilion, because he's like, oh, I know what to do here. He starts making a break for it, and he gets out his bow, which, if you listen to our previous episode, feels more comfortable on the bow than any other weapon. So he pulls out his bow. And he strikes down the God Warrior because he's like, yeah, I must protect our weapons so we can fight the Shuriman's. And it's like, oh, no, kid.
he's too far gone. This is where all the confusion is taking its toll, right? It's this layered effect of these back and forths, these unsure understanding of what's happening, what the weapon is, where are we? Are we attacking? Are we retreating? The city's now destroyed, so what are we fighting for? And these, like, it's all that suppressed in his mind that's taken over by the action, which is just his bow, right? And he ends up notching up, an arrow and hitting him square in the head, taking down the God Warrior before he can do what he planned on doing. One thing to keep in mind, like Hetch mentioned, God Warriors have been around for a long time. So there's a high chance this vulture God Warrior could be one of the older ones that understands what the void is before anyone else does and is trying to say, oh, shit, we can't let this get out. Hindsight, we know he's right. But Axe walks over to this now fallen warrior feeling a sense of like when Sajax downed his first God Warrior of like, oh, shit, I did it. Like he was wounded, but I killed one. I need to say something cool, right? This is the time for my action hero line. And the God Warrior looks at him and laughs and essentially in his dying breath tells him that you've opened a door that you should not have opened. It should have remained closed. And who cares about death at this point? Because what will come next will be worse than death itself.
Yep. And of course, you know, like we said, we know that the God Warrior is correct.
Yeah.
But for Axe, he's just looking at him going, we have freed ourselves. Yeah. We're a free people, even though we destroyed our own home in the process.
Sounds like America to me, brother.
I didn't know that Acathia had oil. Axe, he finally in this moment, it's like, is fully channeling that he is one of the Kahari. Like, he feels like he has succeeded as far as making that final step from being like the spoiled rich kid turned rebel into the actual fighting elite of the Acathians. And that's all he focuses on in this moment. He doesn't listen to what this God Warrior says. And luckily, he gets to really bathe in that feeling for a long time, because the very next thing that happens is him, still confused about what's going on, watches an injured Jax ride up to him on a horseback going, all right, we gotta go.
And that is my favorite part of this whole story, is that Jax is the first one of the Kahari that's like, nah, bro, this is done. We gotta go.
Yeah. And Jax would also, you know, this is another reference to the previous part where it talks about when Jax killed his first God Warrior type business, and Colgrim said they damn near leveled the mountain and everything around it just to do that. And, you know, they don't talk much about it, probably because it was a case where they killed it and were like, we got to get the fuck out of here. Right? We've destroyed the ecosystem. And he, you know, he says that, you know, the Shreemans are dead, but Icathia is doomed and they need to leave. And for Axe, now kind of standing in this semi-quiet environment, but there's still like holes in the ground with light protruding, purple light protruding. They're still shrieking, they're still hissing, they're still howls in the background. But he's standing there, he's like, I can't. I was born here and now I will die here. He has taken the step into insanity. Right? This short experience has literally driven him completely insane. And Sajax kind of looks at him and he doesn't even attempt to push back because he understands his conviction. And he says, all right. And all he says to him is, then hold to who you are while you still can. And he just rides off.
Now, I'll tell you what, Ryan. You say it's insanity. I say it's patriotism. Right? Like, this is my home. And I will die here. You can't take my gun from me. But I mean, yeah, like it. I think like the quote that sums it up perfectly here in this exchange is that, you know, Jax is explaining that it's like, we've got to go, and Axe tells him, I would have given everything to see the Shreemans defeated, and Jax responds with, I fear we just did.
Yeah.
And that is like something that, you know, especially with a lot of, you know, kind of like stories that follow rebellions and stuff like that, like people don't really stop and think about like, okay, what cost is there to actually achieving this?
Yeah.
And of course the Icathians had no idea what they stumbled upon. They didn't know what the void was. In reality, nobody knew what the void was, because I doubt that like the God Warriors of Shreema knew what was happening. I think that they just kind of, they with experience and the time they've been around, were like, oh, I've heard of these legends, and the legends are true. Like, but you know, by the time you realize that, it's too late. So nobody really goes over like the cost that is behind a lot of these like really big and dramatic uses of like weapons of warfare. And this is like the firsthand account standing at ground zero of what that cost is. But like Axe is just like, well, but we won. And Jax can't get through to him of helping him realize, yeah, but we've won nothing. Like, there's nothing to win anymore.
Yeah.
Like, the thing we were fighting for is gone. And now if we want to keep fighting, we got to live. But luckily for Jax, I guess, is, you know, he doesn't have to deal with Axe any longer. Because we're going to just hop ahead as far as like, I'm going to read as far as the final passages of this, which is, it's a monologue of Axe. And it's a reference to our very first part of this story, which is where he is saying his name. And this is the last time we'll hear the full name. My name is Aximuk Varchoy Kahari Ikathor. And he, like in the first passage, he says like what his name means, except this time it's, I think it's my grandsire's name. All right. Or I think it's my grandfather's name. And like while he's trying to remember the bits and pieces of what his name means, we get the images of Icathia literally falling in on itself around him. And it's like, the newest addition is Kahari. Kahari, what is that? There's a mark on my arm, a sword wrapped in a scroll. Is it a slave mark? Was I the property of a conqueror? I remember a girl with green eyes and an opal necklace. Who was she? Was she my wife? My sister? A daughter? I do not know, but I remember the smell of her flowers. My name is Aksumuk Varchoy. I repeat it over and over again to stave off the slow disillusion. I do not want to forget. It's all I have left. My name is Aksumuk. I am being erased. I know this, but I do not know why or how. Something awful writhes within me. All that I am is unraveling. I am being undone. My name is my name. And that's how the story ends.
Yeah.
He's gone.
This is where the story is done, but this is a great reference to the rest of the Void stories we will talk about and have talked about, where individuals who in the future get stuck in the Void or have some experience with the Void tend to go through this same experience of losing themselves slowly over time, gaining new personalities, or becoming strong enough to hold on to the pieces that remain at that point in time, right? And this is the earliest experience we have now, historically, from like on the show, of an experience with the Void, of someone who just sticks around in it and just hangs around in it as they lose themselves and unwind. And it's a great first-person representation of what he saw when they unleashed it on a streaming army, where they were unraveled. They were, you know, it was a biomass type situation that pulled everything from them to feed the Void. And yeah, it's, if you guys, I think we've mentioned probably the book Unwind before.
Yes. Yeah.
Which is a sci-fi story. Check that out if you like this concept. It's not that long. It's a good read.
Yeah. If you want something long, I've mentioned before that I love Warhammer. And if you like this stuff, read any story that involves the Tyranids. the only difference between like the Tyranids to the Void is that there's a lot more, you know, rip and tear. that just kind of goes to like, we do get to see that as far as in like different sci-fi, but this one, the biggest difference that sets this apart from other stories is that the Void just removes things from existence, period. There is no hive mind. There is no existence afterwards. There is nothing of you that continues on. You never existed. It's just gone. It's just nothing. It is just a void. And that's what sets us apart from other stories. And I would encourage anybody that, you know, kind of enjoyed getting that, you know, a bit more of understanding of how the Void works and what it's like as far as being in there, go back and listen to a story like Arkaisa's story.
Yeah.
Because it will really help you appreciate more like the journey that Kaisa goes through to be able to hold on to herself, even though what she's holding on to is just survival.
Yeah.
It is just a carnal need to survive, but she clinches onto it. And you can really appreciate that more when it's like, there's something writhing within me. I don't know what it is. Who am I? My name. But for Kaisa, it's like, oh, something writhing within me. Can I put it as scales? Yeah, that should work.
Yeah. And part of that plays into her being exposed to it as a child, right? Versus being an established adult. She's forming a personality she probably didn't have. Further story. Yeah, the Kaisa, that's actually a perfect place to go to after this if you want more related to this topic. But that's going to end it for the Icathian story. We hope that, you know, you appreciated the time we put into kind of explaining more about Icathia. Giving you another runation to think about. It's like beta testing.
Yeah. And remember, like, it, where we ended this story is where it's left off in the present, because yeah. Zillion just hit the pause button.
Yeah.
Zillion just said, nope, pause. I'll come back here once I figure out how to do some editing. That's all Zillion's done.
So with that, as always, thanks for listening, and we'll be back soon with the next episode.
Take care, everybody.